It is Sunday. Hello and welcome to the Sounds Proper Podcast. It is another segment, another episode of Single Sunday. Single Sunday is the segment where I go over the latest releases, their latest singles. I listen to them live on the podcast. Well, not exactly live on the podcast, but I listen to them. I give you my first reaction of these songs. And I just, determine whether or not they sound proper, whether if they don't sound proper, or if they're just meh, if they're just mid. Today we have a decent batch of tracks, and hopefully a decent batch of tracks. But before we get into any of that, I'm just going to plug a few things. You can check out my YouTube channel, Sounds Proper. Also, you check out my past reviews. I make hip-hop album reviews, obviously. You check out my past reviews. They're all pretty good. Also, I have a video version of each of these reviews on the Sounds Proper YouTube channel. My last review was actually a YouTube exclusive, this being West Side Gun, Pray for Paris. I believe that's well made. I believe that's a very interesting review to check out. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Sounds Proper. Check out my past reviews on the Sounds Proper podcast, as well as the past episodes of Single Sunday. They're still quite valid. I still give, hopefully informed opinions about each of these songs. I go over each of these songs. It's just my first reaction. But if you want more well scripted stuff, you can go listen to the reviews. And if you want even more highly edited, highly scripted stuff, check out the YouTube videos for these reviews. Anyway, so let's get into the songs that I will be listening to and critiquing today. So we have WAP by Cardi B. We have Conway the Machine with Lemon. We have the Flatbush Zombies with Afterlife. We have IDK and JID with Pillow. We have Juice WRLD and The Weeknd with Smile. We have 6ix9ine with Punani. We have 2 Chainz with Moneymaker. And we have Top Gone by Lil Mosey and Looney. Or Looney. I don't really know him. I don't know how to pronounce his name. But yeah, hopefully these are good quality tracks. I'm expecting good stuff from IDK and JID and Conway the Machine and hopefully the Flatbush Zombies. Hopefully Juice WRLD and The Weeknd track is good. Maybe 2 Chainz. Those are the tracks I'm expecting the most from. And hopefully we get some sleepers, some songs that hopefully I was sleeping on. Maybe like the Cardi B track, or maybe I'm sleeping on the Lil Mosey track or the 6ix9ine track. But regardless, let's get into the first one. The first one I'll be covering is WAP, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, one of the bigger, if not the biggest track to come out this week. And it's this one, I don't know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. These two artists are collabing. These are probably the two biggest female voices in hip hop. In 2020, you can't even argue Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj maybe all time is, I guess, bigger than Megan Thee Stallion, but right now in terms of relevancy, I would say it's definitely Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. You could even say that Megan Thee Stallion is outdoing Cardi B right now, because Cardi B, I think the last time she dropped a project was 2018, and Megan Thee Stallion, she dropped her last project in 2019, her last full-length project in 2019, I believe it's called Fever, as well as her EP, Suga, and she had one of, if not the biggest tracks of the summer, and that's Nasty, and also got remix with Beyonce. So yeah, definitely these two artists are popping off. They are huge right now. Being huge doesn't necessarily mean quality. I'm not really big a fan of either of these two. I believe both of them could put out good music. Megan Thee Stallion being more inclined to put out good music than Cardi B, in my opinion. But, it's just going to be interesting what these two have to offer. So I'm just going to get straight into this. Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, WAP. I'm going to listen to it off the pod. I'm going to come back and give you my thoughts. All right, so I just got done listening to WAP, Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion, and that wasn't bad. That was actually better than I thought it was going to be. As most people would know, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, they're both two sexually evocative artists. And for most people, they look attractive, and also in their music, they talk a lot about they have a lot of sexual themes within their music, you know. So it definitely wasn't surprising to me that there would be subject matter that is hypersexual in any way, shape, or form. However, I didn't really think that every single line, every single bar was just going to be like out there. I didn't know that they were going to like go deep. Like that was a bad pun. You know, it was not intended, but I didn't know they're going to go deep into the subject matter like this. You know, there's a ringing sample, you know, there's some hoes in the house, and you know, the beat, like the drums are, you know, kind of slow, you know, kind of waiting for it's basically just putting a lot of light into what Cardi and Megan Thee Stallion are saying. And you know, it's not bad. You know, it's not my cup of tea per se, but I didn't think it was bad at all. You know, there wasn't really much wordplay. There was a few metaphors that were okay. I think Megan Thee Stallion had the better performance out of the duo. Yeah, I think her flow, you know, it was very neat. You know, it sounded like she was packing a lot of words into her lines, whether she was or wasn't. You know, Cardi more took a slower, methodical way of going about rapping. But yeah, I didn't think this track was bad at all. I would even say this sounds proper. I would say this song definitely sounds proper. This is worth checking out. It's not my cup of tea. It won't be everybody else's cup of tea. But it's worth it. It's worth the one listen. It's probably not going to be something I'm going to coming back to often. Maybe for like very, very specific circumstances. But yeah, interesting track. Next, we have the song from Conway the Machine. This one is called Lemon, and this one features Method Man, you know, Wu-Tang member of Method Man. This is going to be very interesting. Conway the Machine, he's a member of the group Griselda. You know, I don't really need much introduction. I mean, I just reviewed a Griselda member's project exclusively on YouTube. That's being West Side Gun Pre-Prepare. Check that out. But, you know, Conway the Machine, he is an interesting artist to me. He is probably my least favorite out of Griselda, but I do like Griselda in general, and I do like Conway the Machine's music. Maybe this is hinting at a new project from him. You know, we already got Lulu and No One Mourns the Wicked. Maybe we're getting a third one this year already, which is kind of wild, to be honest. But Lemon, Method Man, you know, Wu-Tang, don't really need to introduce him. So yeah, Lemon, Method Man, Lemon, Conway, Method Man, getting right into this. So Lemon, Conway, Method Man, just got done listening to it. And it's an interesting track. I don't really feel too strongly positively or negatively to it. Let's start with the beat. The beat was okay. It had like these very drawn out strings, some very light, it was a very light on the percussion. You know, had some occasional piano playing coming in and out. It was a fine enough beat, but it's definitely not something that I'm really surprised from hearing, especially from like the Griselda boys. Conway, he had the worst out of the two performances. Not that his performance is bad. He actually had a decent okay performance, but I believe it's just going through the motions, not really doing much different from what he's done before. It's all very samey. Method Man had the better of the two performance-wise. He had a nice string in where he was rhyming. You know, it was like I think the rhyme was if I could find an example of that, that'd be amazing. Oh, okay, here. So it's Con and Meth. Spread the word, boy. You seeing him. No seeing him. These rappers in the scope, you'll never see an M. Killer bees and back in the building with machine in him. We creaming him with pockets of dirty money. I'm cleaning again. And he just strings it on for longer than that. And I think it even started before that. So yeah. The Method Man, you know, he's still got it all these years later. I think it's like almost 30 years later. He's definitely still got it lyrically. The beat was fine. Conway's fine. I don't really feel too strongly positive or negatively about it. I'm leaning a bit more positive to it, but I'm still going to say it sounds meh. Definitely not really saying it sounds proper or doesn't sound proper. Not going to really be something that makes me excited for a Conway project, nor is it going to be something that I'm really going to come back to often, maybe once or twice more, just to validate my thoughts or to see if I have a differing opinion after a second and third listen. But other than that, no, it's something to check out, especially if you're interested in underground hip hop, if you're interested in Griselda and you're interested in Conway or anybody within that wheelhouse. So yeah, Conway, Lemon, meh. Anyway, the next track we have is Flatbush Zombies. This one is it's by Flatbush Zombies. This one is titled Afterlife. Now, Flatbush Zombies is an interesting group. I reviewed their latest EP, that being Now More Than Ever. I reviewed that. That was one of the first reviews that I've done. I think I gave that a 6.5 out of 10. Check it out, podcast and YouTube video. But I think the Flatbush Zombies, they have a lot of potential that it was explored on Now More Than Ever, and also on Vacation in Hell, and even like Laced Odyssey. But I don't think they've fully realized it. But they definitely can. And hopefully on the single, hopefully there's a project coming soon. And hopefully on the single, we start to see some of that potential being realized. I believe each one of these members, that you know, it's three of them, they have their strengths and weaknesses, one being more expressive than the other. So I'm definitely interested in what Flatbush Zombies, what the three of these MCs are bringing to offer in this track, Afterlife. I'm going to give it a go, and I'll be back. Afterlife. Flatbush Zombies, Afterlife. I didn't really care for this track at all. It's not awful. It's not like the worst thing I've ever heard, but it's definitely a song that I'd really care for. I'm just going to get straight into talking about it. So the beat here, I thought it was okay. I thought it was mediocre. It's definitely not like the best thing that they've come out with. It has a very ethereal, very spacey melodies, which I find were fine, even though they didn't really amaze me, they didn't really blow me away. They were just there and they were fine. Something that disappointed me is the very basic percussion that was on this track. It was standard trap drums that was sequenced in a very standard way, like the hi-hats, the kicks. It was all very standard. It was all very formulaic, and I didn't really care for that fact. The best verse here, it was a verse from Michi Darko, a verse from Eric the Architect, my bad. And also a chorus from Zombie Juice. Eric the Architect had the best vocal part of the song. I thought his verse was fine. It wasn't anything that blew me away. You know, his subject matter, it wasn't very much wordplay. It wasn't really substance in the lyricism. But, you know, he conveyed some points about especially like stuff that is going on today in America, you know. So that was fine enough. It was fine, I guess. I didn't really care for Michi Darko's performance at all. Lyrically, he was very aimless. He didn't really have anything to say. And with the very little that he had to say, he sounded like he was struggling for words, especially toward the end of the verse. Like he was just struggling to find words to fit into the verse. And I didn't really care for the chorus either from the Zombie Juice. I didn't like it. The track just reads as aimless. It just reads as purposeless. Like, why does this exist? The song Afterlife, it's called Afterlife, but it doesn't really have much to do with Afterlife, except for some a few lyrical nods to the word Afterlife. Like, it just feels very aimless. It just feels very purposeless. And it's reflected in a lot of the elements in the track, in the song. It's reflected in the beat. It's reflected in the performances, which none of them were good. None of the performances were good, nor was the beat. So yeah, I didn't really care for Afterlife by Flatbush Zombies, not sounding proper. I'm quite disappointed, actually. I was expecting something on the caliber of, I was definitely expecting something to sound proper from these guys here, but yeah, just kind of disappointing me with this song. Hopefully the next track will be better. This one's from IDK Jid, featuring Kenny Mason. This one's called Serial. You know, IDK and Jid. IDK, I like this project. Is he real? Despite the fact that I might disagree with a few things, I can appreciate what he had going for that project, as well as Jid, his project DiCaprio 2. You know, these two have collabed in the past, so they should have some semblance of chemistry. Kenny Mason, I'm not too familiar with his work. I'm good to check out. Hopefully he has some project I'm going to check out after I get done recording the podcast. Yeah, I'm going to check out some Kenny Mason stuff. But yeah, Serial, Kenny Mason, Jid, IDK. Hopefully that is sounding proper. I'm not expecting the stars and moon, but I'm expecting something good from them, you know? So yeah, I'll be back when I am done listening to the song. All right, so that was a pretty good track. That was Serial, Jid, IDK, Kenny Mason, coming with a banger. The core of the beat, you know, it's like, I don't know what instrument it is, but it sounds like some very distorted, like a distorted alarm just blaring away, like, it sounded great, especially with the drums, you know, kind of being in a supportive role to the melody. And you know, the beat is dynamic, you know, the blaring alarm just kind of cuts off and we get some very lush, lavish strings. The production here is definitely good. It's definitely pristine. We get a chorus from Jid that is just killer. It's a killer, killer chorus. You know, he talks about, you know, you ran out of milk. Well, I guess you gotta use fucking water. you know, but that's definitely a reality for a lot of people, and maybe perhaps it was even a reality for Jid. Kenny Mason. You know, I'm just gonna finish about Jid, and then I'll get to Kenny and IDK. But Jid, you know, I also liked his verse. You know, he definitely didn't disappoint on the chorus front or on the verse front. Kenny Mason, he had maybe arguably the best verse here. I'm definitely gonna be checking out his stuff. I saw he has one album he released earlier this year. But yeah, you know, he kind of just you know, Jid kind of lobbed up you know, some material for him, and he just kind of killed it. You know, he just played into the banger of a song that this is. It may be probably the weakest out of the three with IDK, but IDK definitely didn't deliver a bad verse. I thought it was just okay. You know, I like the line where he's like, fucks with my money, fucking your bill up, aim for your head. I shoot like Billups, like Chauncey Billups. I like that, you know, quite a bit. You know, IDK didn't come with a bad verse necessarily. It was okay. I've heard better from him though. But yeah, this song's a banger. I definitely like this. This sounds proper. Serial, IDK, Jid, featuring Kenny Mason. Perhaps IDK and Jid will be coming with a collab album in the near future, which I would be excited for. I'd be pumped for that. So yeah, this song is definitely sounding proper. It's probably the best one of the day. Yeah, it is the best one of the day. All right, so the next we have the song from Lil Mosey and Looney, or I think it's Luney, so probably Lune. But Lil Mosey, Lune, this one is called Top Gun, and I'm not really expecting much from this. I'm actually expecting this song to be awful. I'm expecting this to be awful. The only reason why I'm really talking about it is because maybe I can, like, piggy bank on this to go on a little mini rant, a little mini tirade, but I also might have a discussion, you know, tied to an album review about quality in hip hop. So maybe I won't go on that rant, but you know, I'm just hoping for the best, expecting the worst, which is what you should do for everything in life. Hope for the best, expect the worst. Top Gun, Lune, Lil Mosey. I'm not hoping that this sucks. I just hope that, you know, I'm not wrong. I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping for good music. Top Gun, Lil Mosey, Lune, just got done listening to that one. And it's not awful. I would say it's meh. Here we have the best part of the song is definitely the beat. Had some trap drums that were inoffensive. The best part of the beat was it was very chimey. I like the chimes, you know, it was very nice. I like the melodies there. Lil Mosey, very inoffensive lyrically. He wouldn't do anything that was like, oh man, that nigga ass, like, you know, but it wasn't anything impressive. Maybe in the sense that it was just nothing impressive at all. Maybe you can say that nigga's ass, but yeah. Also, Lune, I was expecting, like, okay, maybe we might actually get like a solid verse from him, or maybe we might get a very ass verse from him. I just didn't know what to expect, but I really wasn't expecting this nigga to start spitting in Spanish. Like, you know, he was the chorus was going, you know, Lil Mosey was okay on the chorus. The chorus about to finish, you know, ready for Lune's verse. And he just starts, dime por qué eres usted. Like, I don't speak Spanish, honestly. I didn't understand anything he's saying. But he was kind of, you know, sing rapping in the same vein of Lil Mosey. Harmonizing while rapping. It was, you know, fine. It didn't sound amazing or anything. It's a very inoffensive. It's a very, very mid track. Yeah. So there's not really much to talk about with this track, to be honest. Lil Mosey, Top Gun, featuring Lune. Yeah. Sounding meh. The next track we'll be covering is let's do Smile, Juice WRLD and The Weeknd. Wow, there's a lot of big names that dropped. Smile, Juice WRLD and The Weeknd. So yeah, the late Juice WRLD just got done with Legends Never Die. That was released. I reviewed that on the podcast as well as the YouTube channel. You can check that out on the Sounds Proper YouTube channel as well as the Sounds Proper podcast. Legends Never Die, you know. I thought that album was mid. I liked some tracks. I didn't like some tracks. You know, that's kind of how albums go. But yeah, also The Weeknd, he recently dropped his After Hours project, which I thought was decent. You know, I'm not a big R&B guy, but whenever The Weeknd drops, you know, he's kind of one of the biggest artists in the world. So it will catch people's attention, including mine. You know, there's only a few artists outside of the hip hop lane that really do that. You know, The Weeknd, whenever Frank Ocean drops. But yeah, this will be interesting. To my understanding, not to my understanding, I have not heard these two collab before. So this will be interesting to hear what these two do. You know, I can see Juice WRLD with his very boyish harmonizing, The Weeknd with his more aggressive harmonizing, and I can see this being a phenomenal track, but I can also kind of see this flopping. So yeah, Smile. Also, this is probably going to be on Legends Never Die Deluxe, since this wasn't on the original version of Legends Never Die. I guess Juice WRLD's estate was saving a banger for the deluxe. So yeah, Smile, Juice WRLD, The Weeknd. This will probably be good. It's getting a lot of attention, and yeah, I'll be back when I am done listening. Unflattering. That's how I would describe this track in one word. Unflattering. Anyway, so I just got done listening to Juice WRLD and The Weeknd with the song Smile. And yeah, as I just said, I would describe this track as unflattering because it just definitely wasn't what, you know, in my imagination, this definitely wasn't what this could have been. This wasn't what it could have lived up to be. I feel like Juice WRLD's vocals were recorded before he died, and The Weeknd probably recorded his on the song after he died, and maybe even the beat was curated after Juice WRLD died. Who knows? It just feels thrown together. It doesn't feel very cohesive. It doesn't feel like these two artists were working together to put together a track. Because I think it would have definitely been different. Would have definitely sounded different. But I don't know, maybe they did. And they just came out with a track that was that isn't what you would expect from Juice WRLD and The Weeknd to be collabing, two of the most polarizing figures in music. You know, especially in the harmonic lane in music. You know, Juice WRLD, you know, it was very surface level, is what you could expect on any Juice WRLD track. You know, talk about his girl, and he also, you know, he alludes to the fact that I might die soon, which, but at this point, I've heard it so many times, it doesn't really affect me. You know, some people is still maybe like, oh man, you know, that's kind of crazy. But by this point, I don't know, maybe I'm unfeeling, but you know, it affected me the first time I heard him say it. But this is probably the 101st time I've heard him say this. So, you know, he kind of mentions on it like every other track. you know, he talks about drugs and a girl. The Weeknd, you know, he kind of plays up to what Juice WRLD is saying, you know, talking about, you know, a girl, and, you know, he needs drugs to love her, and all he can do is really fuck her. You know, talk about pictures on his phone, and it's very unflattering. You know, I would expect like these two to be maybe like trading bars and, you know, doing something together on the chorus, but really it's just Juice WRLD handling the chorus. It's definitely a Juice WRLD track featuring The Weeknd. You know, Juice WRLD handles the chorus, he gets a verse. All The Weeknd does is get a verse and ad lib for the chorus. Yeah, the chorus was uninteresting. It was very unflattering. That's how I describe this song. It's not bad or anything. You know, especially the beat, it's mediocre. Yeah, this song isn't bad. I'm not going to run into mental gymnastics live on the podcast. It sounds meh. It definitely doesn't sound proper. It doesn't not sound proper. It sounds meh. Unflattering. It's a little disappointing that we got this, which I would have expected a lot more from these two. However, maybe the next track won't be as unflattering. We get, should I do 6ix9ine or 2 Chainz first? Well, I'm going to do 2 Chainz first, and we'll save 6ix9ine for last. So yeah, hopefully 2 Chainz, the track Moneymaker, isn't unflattering. This one is featuring Lil Wayne. You know, a Lil Wayne feature in 2020 doesn't really pique interest, because Lil Wayne is, you know, Lil Wayne is like Lil Wayne in 2020. I don't know, like, what to say. You know, isn't all that amazing? Isn't all that impressive? Like, nobody actually cared for the latest project that he dropped. That not being Funeral. I think he dropped a project after Funeral. I just didn't bother to listen to it. But 2 Chainz is a better rapper in 2020 than Lil Wayne, in my opinion. You know, I did like his project Pretty Girls Like Trap. So hopefully Moneymaker is a pretty good track. Maybe this alludes to a new solo project from 2 Chainz, because I know he did a collab project TRU, True. But yeah, we're getting Lil Wayne, 2 Chainz, Moneymaker, and I'll be back once I am done listening to it. All right, so I just got done listening to 2 Chainz, Moneymaker, and I would say this song sounded proper if it wasn't for the feature from Lil Wayne, which I already alluded to, that might not be the best thing for a song in 2020, but, you know, I'll get into that. So I think I wouldn't say it's the best part. I'd say 2 Chainz and the beat is the best part. The beat here has it's very like marching band themed. Has the trumpets, has the marching band drums, and it also has some nice xylophone chimes in the back, which I appreciate, which sounds nice. With the beat, you know, it's very trumpet heavy, but you know, everything around it is very supportive, and it does its supporting role well. Also, I like 2 Chainz on here. You know, it was very simple what he had to say. You know, he's like shake your moneymaker, basically telling girls, you know, shake your ass and make some money off of it. You know, we're in a time where OnlyFans is making people a lot of money, so I'm not going to discourage against it, but just realize that you're kind of like, it's kind of like e-prostitution. It's kind of like, you know, whatever. That's completely different, you know, topic. It's a completely different discussion. But, you know, 2 Chainz encouraging people, you know, shake that moneymaker. You know, and I think his verse, you know, it was very charismatic. It was clever in the same, in a way, in a very 2 Chainz way. And I thought the chorus played into that well. What I didn't like is Lil Wayne's appearance here, where he sounded like half asleep. He sounded out of his mind. You know, just not into it. Kind of like snoring on the mic. Yeah, he didn't really say anything. Very witty, very funny, and his vocal delivery wasn't very interesting at all. He was kind of slurring everything, which it was just very boring. But yeah, Moneymaker sounding meh. You know, without Lil Wayne, it's sounding proper. So take that as you wish. Take that as you would like to take that. But yeah, Moneymaker, 2 Chainz, that's that. The next and final track is 6ix9ine, Punani. Is this the final track? Yes, it is. This is the final track. 6ix9ine, Punani. So yeah, 6ix9ine, you know, we all know the story. We all know the story. Just got released from jail. He has been putting out some tracks, you know, with the first one, he put out Gooba, getting a lot of attention. And then the track Trolls, not getting as much attention, but getting a good amount of attention. Then the track Yaya, not really getting a lot of attention. and then this track Punani, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, 6ix9ine, I don't know, man. I haven't really cared for the batch of tracks that he's put out. I thought Gooba was meh. I didn't actually care for Gooba all that much. I did not like Trolls. I talked about that on the Silence Bopper podcast. I just didn't like Trolls at all. You could check that out. You could also check out me talking about Yaya, which I didn't care for. I think if I remember this correctly, it was like a Spanish track. If I remember that correctly. But this one, Punani, as far as I know, this one is a English track. It's 1 minute 55 seconds, which means it's more than likely rapping, which I think that's what when 6ix9ine excels, whenever he does excel. Punani, 6ix9ine, I'm just getting straight into this. I'm expecting... I don't know what the fuck I'm expecting, to be honest. You know, hopefully something not awful. Hopefully something good. You know, I'm not going to get my hopes up all that much, though. So, yeah, 6ix9ine, Punani. All right, so Punani, 6ix9ine. I already alluded that this track was short by saying it's 1 minute 55 seconds. But it felt shorter than it really was. I don't know. It was kind of, like, surprising. Like, when the song cut off, I'm like, oh, man, it's over already? Fuck. But yeah, Punani, 6ix9ine, not really impressing me. I feel like this track would have popped off, would have been very popular in the early to mid 2010s, you know, with the beat and all, very fast paced drums and all that, you know, doom, doom, doom kind of melody in there. 6ix9ine's hook, I'm very divided, like, I didn't really care for it. You know, it's a fat Punani Nani, like Tsunami Nami. Nah, I'm not really feeling it. You know, it's not the most original thing ever, as well as it's just not like very creative. It's just kind of stupid, actually. It's pretty fucking stupid. You know, he was hyper aggressive on the verses. It's almost like, you know, his first few tracks where he's hyper aggressive. You know, he's kind of like eating the fucking mic and, you know, just screaming his brains out. Which, you know, I appreciate the delivery. Didn't really care for the lyrical subject matter. And this track's very short, so it didn't really have much time to progress anywhere. Didn't have much time to go anywhere. Didn't have much time to flesh out all the ideas that I may have had. But maybe that's for the good thing, because maybe it just would have... This track could have possibly been longer and just stretched out some very mediocre ideas for long, which you don't want to do. So, yeah, I don't really have very much of a problem with this track. Although I'm not going to really be bumping it around my house. So, yeah. Punani, 6ix9ine, sounding meh. That's another track sounding meh. So I guess not the best batch of tracks this week. You know, I definitely had higher hopes. You know, there's also some surprises like WAP. That was a surprise for being good. Lemon, I thought that was going to be better. Afterlife by Flatbush Zombies, I thought that was going to be better. Cereal, that was pretty damn good. I didn't expect it to be that good. Smile, I thought was going to be better. I thought that, Smile, I thought it could be better. Punani, you know, I expected it to be in that wheelhouse, especially same thing with Moneymaker. And that Lil Mosey track was, I thought it was going to be awful, and it wasn't. So yeah, very interesting week, very interesting batch of tracks that we have. And hopefully next week we can improve upon that, because there's only two tracks that I couldn't really say sounded proper. You know, there's only two tracks that, you know, in my good faith, with my critical faith, that I can say that really sound proper, that being Cereal and WAP. So yeah, that has been Single Sunday. I hope you enjoyed listening to the podcast. If you haven't already, check out some of my past episodes of Single Sunday. Check out my past reviews. All the reviews are in podcast form as well as in YouTube form. I have some YouTube exclusive reviews. West Side Gun, Pray for Paris, Boldy James, The Price of Tea in China, Kid Cudi, Man on the Moon. Those are three reviews that are exclusive to YouTube. So you're going to want to check out those. The Single Sunday is exclusive to the podcast. And yeah, that has been Single Sunday. I hope you enjoyed. And as I say, always, I don't really know how to finish or end a podcast. So I always just click stop recording, that this little black button on my screen right here.